5, and for about 5 minutes or 6 at the most. Please recite Allah Salat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إنا نخاف من ربنا بنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نضرة وسرورا وجزاهم بما صبروا جنة وحريرا متكئين فيها على الأرائك لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا ودانية عليهم ظلالها وذللت قطوفها تذليلا ويطاف عليهم بآنية من فضة وأكواب كانت قواريرا صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات برای سلامتی همه شما عزیزان. تشکرم.
Very quick, maybe in 30 seconds or so, the important points I was told, if we can translate part of very quickly, some of the, you all you know about these verses have descended for the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, when they had vowed to, for the recovery of Imam al-Hassan al-Hussein when they were children, and they fasted for 3 days and nights, and every night someone came to them when they were going to go ahead and open their fast, and they were miskeen, destitute, yatim, an orphan, an asir, prisoner of war, and they said, we feed you just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do not require any thanking or any gratitude. Salla ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salla ala Muhammad. I'd like to invite our dear Sayyid Muhammad, and I would like to thank him actually, by the way, my dear brothers and sisters. He did a great job. I had heard a lot of comments from the brothers and sisters. Well, of course, our Ustad, Sayyid Ja'far al-Qazwini, although I'm in and out, but whatever I heard, and from, of course, comments that I heard from my dear friends, brothers and sisters, we really enjoyed his, or they, pretty much everybody enjoyed your speeches. I would like to congratulate you for this very beautiful talent that you have. And I wanted to welcome all of you, definitely, for our eighth night of program of Muharram of 1443, and especially for our young men and women who joined us this year. There are a lot of new faces I see, and I would like to see them more and more, inshallah, because your presence gives a lot of blessings to this center. We love you. We want you here all times, inshallah, for the future to come. Without any further ado, I would like to invite our dear Muhammad Qazwini to the podium for his beautiful speech. Come on over, please. Salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before I begin, I would like to thank Haj Samir for his warm welcome. And without further ado, I'd like to begin. The topic tonight that I've chosen is Islam in the West, how to walk the line. Now this is a very nuanced topic that would take multiple lectures to completely flesh out, to pull out the finer points of how do you hold yourself as a Muslim, especially a young Muslim, between the ages of 15 to 25, in the West, in America. But I've narrowed it down to one key point that if you do this, you will have no problem abiding to both sides, your Western identity and your Muslim identity. And that is your spirituality, your deen. It has been shown time and time again, if you uphold your deen, your salah, your fasting, even your dua, then you will have no problem walking that thin line between your religious identity and your Western identity. Now, let me explain onto that. A study by some PhD students at the University of Rio Grande back in May of 2017 stated that there was a direct correlation between spirituality and the quality of life, meaning that when a person was more spiritual, then their quality of life was higher, they had a better life. And when they were less spiritual, likewise, their quality of life dropped. They had harder times in their life. And in another academic article written by the author David C. Baker, it was found when a person's spiritual connection with God was higher, his connection with the people around him was also better. Why? Because we are all spiritual beings, right? So when we are doing more prayers, when we are doing more dua, where do we end up? We end up at the places of worship, and therefore we connect with our brothers and sisters that are also at the places of worship. What do we see during Ramadan, during Muharram, during these important dates? We see that we're seeing more people, we're talking to more people. People that we haven't seen maybe all year long, now we're seeing them again, we're talking to them. Why? Because we all have that spiritual connection that brings us in common. And then from the Islamic aspect, in Surah Al-Dhuha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, ووجدك ضالا فهدى. That he, your Lord, found you lost. So what did he do? He guided you. And that is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does through our prayers and through our fasting. He guides us towards him. Because in the book, The Secrets of Divine Love, I don't know if you guys, how many of you guys have read that book, but it's an amazing book by an amazing author. And in that book, it describes prayer in a very unique way, in a way that I hadn't really thought about before until I read that book. It describes prayer almost like a conversation with God. And the way it describes it is way more in depth than I can get into here. But when you really think about it, it makes a lot of sense that when you're praying, you're speaking with God. And if you look into coding, right, HTML, CSS, Python, you see that there is a thing called the rubber ducky method, right? It's said that when you're coding and you hit a bump in the road, all of a sudden you don't know where to go in the code, right? You've lost your train of thought. What do? They tell you to literally sit down with a rubber ducky in front of you, right? No joke. And to talk out the problem with the rubber ducky. Tell him what you did to get to that point in the code. And while you're telling the rubber ducky, this rubber ducky that isn't talking to you, isn't even listening to you, while you're talking to it, the answer will just flow out of you. Because you know the solution in your brain, but what? You're just not thinking about it correctly. So when you start talking about the problem, then the answer comes to you. Likewise, our conversations with God work in the exact same way. Sometimes we're having problems in our life, and we don't know what the solution to those problems are. But when we sit down and we have our prayer, we have our conversation with God, whether or not we know if God is listening or not, right? Because we don't see God in front of us. We don't see him nodding his head when we're speaking to him, right? We don't hear him respond to you in the same way that you're not hearing this rubber ducky nod his head when you're talking to him, right? You're not hearing him respond to you, but the answer comes out of you. In that same way, you're not hearing God, but the answer comes out of you. Find the solution. God will give you that solution. So we see that spirituality is hard to maintain. It's not the easiest thing, right? Especially when you want to be a normal American, right? Because some of these things, they don't really look normal to our American friends, and they bring up a lot of questions, right? Like, why are you praying like that, right? Why do you got to do it in front of everybody? Dude, how are you handling not drinking water for a whole month, right? These are all questions that we get. But we see that if we hold tight to our faith, the answers come to us. It becomes easier. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I've noticed when I'm at my spiritual highs, right? When I'm doing everything on time, all my prayers are on time, I'm putting in that extra effort, I'm making that dua, I see that everything in life is just clicking for me, right? That internship I applied for, I got it, right? That job offer I was worried about, I don't got to worry about it anymore. Because when I'm at my spiritual highs, the door's just open for me. And likewise, when I'm at my spiritual lows, right? When my prayers are being rushed, or maybe they're even being forgotten, right? When my dua is thrown to the side because I have more important things to do, what is it? The doors are being closed on me. All of a sudden, I'm stagnating, right? A year has passed, and I'm in the exact same position I was a year ago, right? I'm not moving. There's no movement. So, my brothers and sisters, this is a reminder to always keep, especially for us Muslims in the West, because our job is 10 times harder than Muslims in the East. Right? Because we're not constantly being reminded to be good Muslims. We don't have jama'ah prayers everywhere we go. It falls on us to remind ourselves. So my brothers and sisters, please keep in mind that spirituality is the key to everything. When you keep up with your du'as and your salah and your fasting and all of that, and when you do the extras on top of what is required from you, you see that everything in life becomes easier for you. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأنا أخذت رحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأحد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you very much, Muhammad. May Allah protect you, inshallah. A couple other points that I wanted to share with you, my dear brothers and sisters. As you know, we are approaching the day of Ashura very soon. Thursday is going to be our last day of program here. And we usually had it, sometimes we had it for 11 nights, and sometimes we had it for 12 nights. But due to the things that are going around right now, we're going to finish it, inshallah, on Thursday, which is the day of Ashura night. So our program is going to continue until Thursday night, inshallah. And the Ashura day, as you all know, traditionally we recite the Maqtal here in English and Farsi. And it's going to take about 2 hours, 2 hours and a half. So we will start our program at 10:30 on Thursday morning, inshallah. The doors will be open at 10 o'clock, and we would have a canopy outside. If you'd like to say, sit outside, it's up to you. So you can sit in the shade. And I owe a thanking our dear Ali. Dear Ali Qazmin, I really want to thank you for all these beautiful recitations that you did. And lastly, as you know, we've been serving dinner every night now until the day of Ashura. So please, if you want to sponsor of any part of the food or any part of the dinners, please go ahead and help help your center and see me in the after the program. Without any further ado, let's invite our dear brother, Sayyid Ja'far al-Qazmin, to the podium with a salawat.
السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I also would like to thank Haj Abu Hussein, Brother Samir, for the beautiful recitation of the Holy Quran, as well as Sayyid Muhammad for his inspiring, mashallah, beautiful, eloquent talk that he gave every night. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون صدق الله العلي العظيم The topic for the night is called The Highlights of Imamah in the Holy Quran. Inshallah, tonight we will be talking about these highlights in respect to the Imamah and Khilafah on earth from a Quranic point of view and perspective. And tomorrow, inshallah, we will concentrate on the same topic from the words and commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Now, to talk about Imamah, I think one of the best verses that explains and gives, although in a very simplistic way, but extremely in-depth if we study it very well, the details, the characteristics of the Khalifa, the vicegerent, the representative or deputy of Allah on face of this planet. Inshallah, I will be talking about a few important points that this ayah has made after your big and loud salawat. First of all, this ayah recounts the time that the Lord has told his angels, and that's before the creation of a human being, that he will create and install a vicegerent, a deputy and representative on the face of the planet. Meaning that all his creatures up to that moment were not up to the point to represent him and to be his deputy in this earth, including Malaika. Therefore, they surprisingly asked, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكُ. What about us? We are the ones who will always praise you. The Almighty answered, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. There are certain qualities, certain features for this vicegerent that none of those creatures bear and have. Therefore, I am the one who will place him on the face of the planet. Now, what is the Khilafah? When we mention Khilafah, on what terms? Is it the regular Arabic term that we say, Khilafah? You need any Khalifa. Nowadays, Alhamdulillah, in Afghanistan, they became to have a Khalifa, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and I don't know his name, by the way. Does anybody know his name? Mullah Muhammad Umar is gone, long time ago. So, Ibn Jahil? Jahil or Jahid? Ibn Jahil, maybe. Well, this is a Khalifa. Everyone who came after the Prophet, peace be upon him, declared himself to be a Khalifa until the Uthman Empire, you know, recently. Any monarch, any ruler, any king would say that I am representative of God. So do we mean that or something much, you know, important and much bigger than that? Those points that I will give, inshallah, will explain, you know, the meaning of the Khalifa and the relationship between Khalifa and the Imam. So number one point, the Almighty says, Inni ja'ilun. Ja'ilun, here the ulama, those linguistic, they say ja'il is ismi fa'il. Ismi fa'il, mawqi' fa'l al-mudara' in Arabic, meaning that it is a present tense, meaning it is always continuous, uninterrupting, uneasing. As if you say that I am putting, I am doing. Doing meaning it's a present tense. It's continuous. It doesn't have a stop. It is not like the past verb that you say, I have done this or I've placed this. Rather, when you say that I am doing this, I am performing this, meaning the continuity is on. It's keep going. So the ayah says, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, meaning that this ja'al, this position of the Khalifa will always should be on until the end of the age of earth. This is what the linguistic understand from this ayah. It's a continuous. From the time that God has appointed the Khalifa until the end of the history of earth. So this is number one point that this ayah alludes to. The second, this Khalifa, this creature that will assume the Khilafa, the deputy of Allah on the face of this planet, by what condition, by what feature he was merited this job? Was it because of his physical quality? Because of his spiritual qualities? because of his lineage, because of his DNA? What part of this creature has entitled him to be the Khalifa, to be the vicegerent, and to be the deputy of Allah? What is the criteria? The ayah later on explain, say why God has chosen this particular person to represent him. It says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. There is something that the angels were not able to do, and that is the capability of learning and knowledge. It all has to do with knowledge. Knowledge has entitled this individual, this creature, Adam, to assume the responsibility of Khilafa, while other creatures could not reach that threshold. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Now, what did he teach him? Something else. We're not interested to know what he has taught him. But the important thing it is, this knowledge was the criterion for Adam to assume the position of Khilafa. Those of us who have good information and good knowledge about Quran, who recite Quran and understand Quran, they see that this is a very trending in the Holy Quran. When the ayat verses talk about knowledge, always God give a preference and favorable status to someone who possess knowledge, possess hikmah, wisdom. The knowledge itself, the wisdom itself is highly regarded in the Holy Quran. There are a few verses when the Almighty talks about the one who possesses knowledge. It's always considered that this is a prestige. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. In another ayah, it says that you human beings are all equal, but then among you are those who will rise above you, and we would consider them higher than you. Who are those? It says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Human beings are all equal. There is no difference between a black and white and yellow and ethnicity or any type of ethnicity or background in the eyes of Quran are nothing, except when it comes to the criteria of knowledge. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Second, Quran emphatically rejects any equality, any equivalence between someone who knows and someone who doesn't know. In the ayah says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Only those who have discerning knowledge, who can analyze, can find out that the knowledgeable is not the same as the ignorant. Someone who knows should have higher value and higher stature than the one who does not know. When it comes to leadership, the Almighty in multiple verses say that the reason is that this person has assumed responsibility of leadership or monarchy is due to his knowledge. Because it is his knowledge who have made him, able and capable to lead others. I will give you two incidents. One is about Bani Israel. After they left Egypt and they were left in the wilderness, and Musa alayhi salam passed away, died, and they were for 40 years. They were lost in the wilderness. Eventually, they wanted to go back to their original home. Therefore, they wanted to fight those people who were inside Palestine. The prophet, their prophet, told them, okay, someone will be your king. Someone will assume your leadership in order for you to fight with him and to follow him. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. A gentleman called Talut. قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لُهُ الْمُلْكِ. How did he become our monarch? Based on what? What kind of a criteria he had? وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ We deserve to be the one. Those were the aristocrats. They said, okay, we should be assuming the leadership. Why this gentleman has to be our monarch? وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ This guy doesn't even have money. He's not an affluent. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ God has endowed him with abundance in knowledge and physique. He was able to fight, and most importantly, the knowledge. Now, what kind of knowledge? Again, Quran abstains from saying whether it's the knowledge in the warfare, whether knowledge in religion, whether knowledge in any aspect, it's unclosed. We don't know. But for sure, Talut had a preference over others with his knowledge. That is one example. The other example is about Musa. Musa is one of the prophets of Ulil Azm. Five best prophets, Musa was one of them. Musa finds someone who's more knowledgeable than him. He says, قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا? Should I be your follower? Just follow you so you can teach me some of the high knowledge, high standards of knowledge that you have earned. Can you teach me? And I will be just a simple follower of you. You see how Quran associates knowledge with leadership. One beautiful word of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Says, من علمني حرفا فقد صيرني عبدا. Someone who teaches me a single letter, as if he made me his servant. This tells you the caliber of the knowledgeable people, the scholars, how they dominate in any community. So that was the second criteria. The first was the continuous of Khilafah. Second, by which the Khilafah was designated to aid them through knowledge. The third point that this ayah alludes, although not in a very explicit way, the domain of Khilafah. You see, we said that Khalifa, meaning representative, deputy of the principal. In what areas? For example, assume you are a president of the company. How many vice presidents you have? Multiple. Could be one, for example, in technical affairs. The other one in the, you know, public relations. Third one in accounting. Fourth one in human resources. And so forth. Multiple vice presidents who, you know, deputize you, do your work, but only in a specific area, only. Here in the United States, you have a president and the vice president. The vice president assumes a presidency when something happens to the president. If the president goes into absentia, no longer able to conduct his business as a president, the vice president will represent him and assume the presidency and does exactly what has been coming from the president. Whatever the president was allowed to do, he does. In this case, when you say Khilafatullah, the vicegerency and deputy of Allah, what is the domain? They tell you the domain is as open as the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this is the creature of Allah. God has made him. Therefore, he has a ray of those vast, huge responsibilities that, or the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. If the Almighty can interfere in the laws of physics, this Khalifa also can interfere in the laws of physics. If the Almighty can tell people you must do this and this, and they have to follow, this Khalifa also is entitled to do this same thing. Tell people you gotta do this and don't do that. So the same, you know, authority as God. You know, We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Asma'il Husna. Asma'il Husna are the attributes that are only assigned to Allah. 99 names. You all have heard and memorized them. These are only pertaining to Allah. But when you look at Quran, you see that this title sometimes is given to the creator of Allah, to this Khalifa. I'll give you a couple examples. We start our salat, we start everything with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim are two names of Asma'illah al-Husna. But the Almighty also gives this title to His Messenger. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. In another verse, He says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The same title, Rahim, Rauf, Rauf, Rahman, Rahim, are all Asma'illah al-Husna. But the Almighty lend them to His Prophet. I will give you another example. Al-Hadi, the guiding. Who's the guiding? Allah, right? One of the attributes of Allah. But He tells the Prophet, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْدِرٌ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. For every nation, you are the guider. Another one. In Ghina, Al-Ghani, Allah is the rich, the needless. You know, this is probably the proper term. The needless. Ya ayyuha an-nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Again, when you recite Quran, gives this title somehow to the Prophet. It says, وَمَا نَقِمُوا إِلَّا أَنْ أَغْنَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Attributing ghina, giving to his Prophet. So the Khalifa, the vicegerent, has a array of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number four. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. We said that this Khalifa got the knowledge from Allah. God gave him knowledge. And by that knowledge, he was entitled to assume the position of Khilafah. Which method God gave him this knowledge? By which method? Scholars say there are two methods. One, through intermediary. The Almighty send a book, revelation, through the angels. Angel will carry the message and bring it to the Prophet. Or any other intermediary, maybe in a dream. That could be also an intermediary. The Almighty talks about the way that Quran was descended to the Prophet. He says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْدِرِينَ. So one way, through the intermediary, and that intermediary is an angel. Sometimes, no, directly, without an interference of any intermediary, without interference of the malaika, the angels. How do we know? The scholars say, look back through Quran. Whenever God mentioned His name, plural, say, inna, meaning Him and the intermediary. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. God descended Quran, revealed Quran through the malaika. And sometimes does not use inna, no plurality, singular. Says, wa'allamaka ma lam takun ta'lam. God has taught you which you have not learned before. In this ayah that I recited at the beginning, says, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Then later on says, wa'allama adama al-asma'a kullaha. Does not say, allamnah. Does not use the word plural, a singular, meaning directly God taught Adam without any interference, without any intermediary. There wasn't any angel to be an intermediate between God and Adam. And rationally so. Why? For two reasons. You know, one is the one that I just said. The reason is that God says, wa'allam, singular. But the most important, when God taught Adam, also asked the malaika, قَالَ انْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. You tell me. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا. We don't have the knowledge. It is Adam who has the knowledge. So if God has taught Adam through malaika, then at least one of them should know the knowledge. Because he was the intermediary. He was the one who took the message and forwarded to Adam. Therefore, at least one malaika, one malik, one angel should have known the answer. But God says that none of them have gotten the answer, meaning that the way that God transformed this knowledge was direct, without any intermediary, without any interference of malaika in this act of a transfer. So this is how many now? Four. Can you count them? Should I quiz you? Huh? But don't quiz me because I forgot. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Listen, trace them again. One, we said that ja'al is continuous. Second, by the merit of knowledge. Third, we said that the khilafah, the domain of khilafah, is everything. Fourth, the method by which knowledge was transferred to Adam was direct. Fourth, Adam himself became an intermediary between God and the malaika. He was the one who taught the malaika. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Oh, Adam, now you got to teach them. And Adam, أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. So these are the 5 points by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designated a khalifa on the face of a planet. صَلُّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Now we want to connect that with the imamah. We said that the highlight of imamah. So far we talked about khilafah. But before we go to that point, there is a hypothesis by certain scholars. This hypothesis could be right and could be wrong. But it is very interesting. Therefore, I wanted to share it with you. You know, it's logical and intelligent. Those scholars say that this Adam that God has talked about in this verse, it is not the same Adam that is the father of the human being. It's someone else. It is not the same. Why? They tell you, huh? We would tell you why. First of all, Adam Abu al-Bashar, our forefather, the one who went to heaven, and eventually Allah asked him, he and his wife, Madame Eve, to leave the heaven and go to earth. Right? Why did he ask them to leave? Why did he kick them out of heaven? Not because of sin, because they forgot. Adam forgot. When God told him, go, do not approach this tree, he was absent-minded. Does this knowledge that God teach him and he forget, does it have any value? Does not have any value because he forgot. Therefore, this Adam cannot be the same Adam that God has taught him all of these things, and the angels all went to prostration for him. Number one, our forefather Adam was not part of Ulul Azm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. This gentleman, this Adam, your forefather, we taught him. We gave him the covenant, but he forgot. And we couldn't find that he's part of the Ulul Azm. Therefore, Adam is not one of the 5 great prophets. So they say this is number one. Second is that he forgot. When he forgets, meaning whatever knowledge that God has given him, it doesn't have much value. So who was this first Adam? Or the representative? They say this is the representative of Bani Adam. Who was that person? They say, go to the ahadith, go to the narrations, and go to the verses. Look it through the verses, and you will find out. An Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. said, Ya Rasulallah, أخبرني عن أول شيء خلقه الله قبل الأشياء. Tell me what God has ever created before anything else. The Prophet told him, Ya Jabir, إن الله خلق قبل الأشياء نور نبيك من نوره. The light of your prophet, the light of your messenger. God has created that before anything else. So who's the representative here? They say it is Nur Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Is there any reference in Quran? They say yes. What you need to do, you need to meditate about Quran. Do tadabbur, recite the Quran and think about Quran. Here the ayah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. We took the covenant, the oath of the prophets from them. وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى. مِنْكَ, number one, you, Rasulullah, then Nuh, then Ibrahim, then Musa, then Isa. Sequentially, who came first? According to history, Nuh came first, right? But why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we brought you first? Meaning that he has created Nur Muhammad before the creation of everything. So that first Adam that God talks about is the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The spirit of Rasulullah. That was the one who was the vicegerent and deputy of Allah on the face of the planet. I give you another example. I don't know how many of you were honored to visit the shrine of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Ali ibn Abi Talib. If any of you have not, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you this beauty and the tawfiq, the guidance to visit this holy dome of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. When you go to Amir al-Mu'mineen, there is a prelude to admission. You stand up in this beautiful dome, underneath the dome, the golden dome, and you recite this salutation at the beginning. And the salutation for Rasulullah, not for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Listen, it says, As-salamu ala Rasulullah, aminillahi ala wahyih, wa risalatih, wa azaim amrih, wa ma'dan al-wahyi wa tanzeel. Salam for Rasulullah, although you came to visit Ali ibn Abi Talib, but you've given the salutation to Rasulullah. Why? I will tell you why later. Al-khatim lima sabaq wal-fatih lima istuqbil. Succeeding every prophet and pioneering from everyone who came after him. He was the fatih, the pioneer, and the khatim at the end of everything. This is when you salute the prophet in the shrine of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. Not only that, it says, والفاتح لما استقبل والمهيمن على ذلك كله الشاهد على الخلق. The witness on the creation. This came from an imam, from an infallible imam, from an imam al-sadiq. Imam al-sadiq does not exaggerate. Maybe you common people exaggerate when we talk. But the imam is very articulate and very precise. He says, "Ash-shahid ala al-khalq," witnessing the creation when God created the creation. As-siraj al-munir wa salamu alayhi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now the question, why you go to visit Ali ibn Abi Talib, but you have to do salutations for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Here, Ali ibn Abi Talib himself answered the question. He says, "Ala." وإني عبد الله وأخي رسوله وصديقه الأول قد صدقته وآدم بين الروح والجسد. I was the follower of Rasulullah. I was the one who made authentication of the messengerhood of prophethood of Rasulullah, and Adam was still between spirit. Our forefather was between spirit and jasad. That is why when you go to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, you do the salutation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So according to those scholars, they tell you this Adam that God talks about in this ayah, it is not Adam, our forefather, rather It is the spirit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Sallu alayhi bi ala aswatikum. Again, I said this is a hypothesis. I do not take the burden of proof. I cannot say this is right or wrong. But I said this is very interesting and very logical and enlightening. Anyway, now let's look at the connection between Khilafah and Imamah. You know, in Ashura, it is the best season that we get to, you know, to introduce to our Imams, to know our Imams. That's why I am, you know, taking your time in these majalis. The scholars say that Khilafah is the dominant, is a dominant position. Imamah is the highest position in Khilafah. As if Khilafah has sequences, has multiple levels, multiple steps. The highest one of those is called Imamah. Do we have a reference to that in Quran? They say yes. Read the way that God appointed Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. God tested Ibrahim with multiple tests, examinations. As he completed all, when he finished with his MCAT completely, 100%, God appointed him as Imam. Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. Al-Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has a beautiful narration. He says, Inna Allah attakhadha Ibrahim abdan qabla an yattakhidahu nabiyya. Ibrahim was abd, number one. Servant of Allah. Then he chose him to be a prophet. وَاتَّخَذَهُ نَبِيًّا قَبْلَ أَن يَتَّخِذَهُ رَسُولًا. So he became Nabi, prophet. Then he changed to become messenger. وَاتَّخَذَهُ رَسُولًا قَبْلَ أَن يَتَّخِذَهُ خَلِيلًا. Then he became Rasul. Then from Rasul he jumped to become Khalilullah after a fourth test. وَاتَّخَذَهُ خَلِيلًا قَبْلَ أَن يَتَّخِذَهُ إِمَامًا. When he reached the position of خِلَّة, خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ, he says, فَلَمَّا جَمَعَ لَهُ الْأَشْيَاءِ, he passed all those examinations, قَالَ لَهُ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Then he became the Imam of Nas. So Imamah is the highest position in the Khilafah. Now, we know that prophets and messengers are not the same. Some of them are more valuable than others. Others are below in stature than other prophets. تُلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Some of them are better. Some of them are less. But who's the best among them? It's خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وآله. He is the best. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Each prophet, each messenger should have a vicegerent himself, should have a khalifa, someone who would represent him, not a messenger, but someone who has same quality as that a prophet, who will assume the leadership, the spiritual leadership. Musa alayhi salam had a vicegerent, a wasi, called Yusha ibn Nun. Sulaiman alayhi salam had a wasi that is called Asif ibn Barkhiya. Those were the wasi, the vicegerents of the prophets. The Almighty show us the quality of this wasi, this khalifa of the messenger. Tell you here, the same knowledge as the messenger had was transferred to his successor, to his wasi, apostle. Where is that said? Again, when Bilqis, the queen of Saba, came all the way to Palestine, Sulaiman alayhi salam asked his deputies, who can bring me her throne? One ifrit, one of the jinns, told him, I will do that. You stand up and sit down, you will see her throne is with you. But then someone else challenged that person. Says, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. I will bring you her throne before you even blink. Once you blink, you will see the throne there. And that's what has happened. Who did that? Asaf ibn Barkhiya. He was deputy of Sulaiman, the messenger of Allah. Couldn't Sulaiman do this? Absolutely he could do. But why he left it to his deputy? So Allah will show the significance of deputy to any messenger. That any messenger should have a deputy. And the deputy carries the same quality, same knowledge as the messenger of Allah. The most important point is here, brothers and sisters. You see, we claim that our imams are the deputies of messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the most knowledgeable person on earth. His knowledge was transferred to, this is what we claim, his knowledge was transferred to the imams. And imams, by this, are considered to be higher in value than any other creature, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people will tell you, how do you exaggerate? Is that possible that an imam, one of your imams, is better than Ibrahim al-Khalil, for example? We say, according to Quranic logic, yes. Because we said that the values go with the knowledge, right? Whoever has more knowledge has to have higher knowledge, have to have higher value. Quran tell you that a messenger, one of Ulul Azm, and that was Musa, followed someone that was not a prophet. Someone who was not a prophet had more knowledge than Musa, the one that I just recited a few minutes ago. Says, فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِدِّنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. We have taught this great personality that was not, Khidr was not a prophet. We taught him. قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلَّمْتَ رُشْدًا. So the caliber of that man in terms of knowledge was higher than Musa. So in theoretically and practically, it is possible that someone who is not prophet has more knowledge than a messenger and a prophet of Allah. This is according to the Quran himself. When you go to Quran, it tells you, okay, look at this deputy of Rasulullah. We have given him everything. Don't we say, doesn't Quran say, وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ صَلُّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Doesn't Quran say, وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything is written in Kitab al-Mubin. Who has the knowledge of Kitab al-Mubin? So you go ahead, read it. The ayah says, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. There is someone who has the entire knowledge of Kitab. And I conclude with this. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says, عَلَّمَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ أَلْفُ بَابٍ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ يُفْتَحُ لِي مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ أَلْفُ بَابٍ. From each gate of knowledge, there is 1,000 gate that opens. Rasulullah has taught him more than 1,000,000 gates of knowledge. That's why he says, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلِيٌ بَابُهَا. Based on knowledge, our imams, we consider them to be khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this planet. Tonight, we are commemorating a huge, a grand soldier, a hero of battle of Karbala. And that is Ali al-Akbar ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Ali al-Akbar was born in 33 of al-Hijra. So in 61 of Hijra, Muharram, at the beginning, at Advent of 61, Ali al-Akbar was only 27 years old. His mother called Layla. Layla bint Mas'ud, bint Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, and was one of the famous tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. He came along with his father. When all companions were killed and murdered, it turned to be the time for the household of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. The first one who came forward and said, Ya Abata, I'm the one who will go, was Ali al-Akbar. Imam Hussein didn't allow other relatives to go to the battle before Ali al-Akbar. Imam Hussein looked at his young man, a 27-year-old, handsome man, who was so close in similarity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He looked at him and told him, Ali, ilayya ilay, walk to me. Come down from your horse and keep walking to me. Let me see your walk. I want to enjoy your walk. You know, you left such a short life. These moments, I want to enjoy these moments, to see you how you walk. Ilayya ilayya ya Ali. They hugged each other and kept crying and weeping for an hour until the cries of women started to increase. The women gathered around Ali al-Akbar. Each one kisses him, touches him, begging him not to go to the battle until Abi Abdullah al-Hussein said, Da'uh, leave him alone. فَإِنَّ الْحَبِيبِ اشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ حَبِيبِهِ. God is missing Ali al-Akbar. He wants Ali al-Akbar soon. When Ali al-Akbar went, charged to the enemy, he said, al-Hussein said, Allahumma shahad ala ha'ulai al-qawm. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَشْبَهُنَّ غُلَامًا أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْطِقًا بِرَسُولِكَ وَكُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَىٰ رُؤْيَةِ رَسُولِكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَىٰ هَذَا الْغُلَامِ. The most striking similarity that anyone had resembled the Prophet, it was Ali al-Akbar. In his demeanor, in his behavior, in his look, he went fighting. Imam al-Hussein looking at Ali al-Akbar. Layla, wife of Imam Hussein, mother of Ali al-Akbar, in the camp, in the tent, looking at the face of her husband Hussein, as if Hussein is the mirror image of the battle. When she looks at Imam and she sees he has a happy face, meaning that Ali al-Akbar is fighting. Once she look at the facial expression and see that Imam Hussein is terrified, she get terrified as well. At one moment she said, Sayyidi, did something happen to Ali al-Akbar? He said, no, Layla, but I fear from this guy, Bakr ibn Ghanim. He could, you know, strike Ali al-Akbar. Go inside the tent and ad'u Allah. Pray to Allah. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَقُولُ دُعَاءِ الْأُمْ بِحَقِّ وَلَدِهَا مُسْتَجَابٌ. The prayer of mother for her son is acceptable. She went inside and she said, إِلَهِي بِغُرْبَةِ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْحُسَيْنِ يَا رَادَّ يُوسُفَ عَلَى يَعْقُوبِ يَا كَاشِفَ ضُرَّ أَيُّوبِ رُدَّ عَلَيَّ وَلَدِي. I want my son. Soon after, Ali al-Akbar came back. But he was screaming and saying, Abata, قتلني العطش. العطش, العطش, I am thirsty. I just need a sip of water, so I go back again to the enemy. Some narrators say that Hussein told him, Abi Abdullah told him, come and put your tongue in my mouth. When he did, he found out that Imam Hussein is thirstier than him. He went back again with weep. Imam Hussein told him, go greet your mom inside the tent. He goes back again. He hugs her and get again to the fight as he was fighting one enemy of Allah. Give him a blow on the head with a strike on the head. His head was splitted apart. All the blood was gushing on his face and on the face of the horse. The horse, thinking that he was taking him to the camp of Imam Hussein, the horse wrongly went inside the enemy. They butchered Ali al-Akbar with their swords, with their spears. He fell on the ground and said, أبتاه عليك مني السلام هذا جدي رسول الله قد سقاني شربة لا أضمأ بعدها أبدا وإن لك كأسا مدخورة فالعجل العجل. Oh father, رسول الله have gave me some sip of water. The narrator said that Imam Hussein started to come, you know, to come after his son. He would walk and sit. He would walk and sit. He could not continue, you know, in his charge toward the enemy until he got to the body of Ali al-Akbar. He laid on the ground, hugged his son and said, أَبُنَيَّ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْعَفَا. What's the point of this life? It doesn't worth anything. أَمَّا أَنْتَ فَقَدْ اسْتَرَحْتَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا وَبَقِيَ أَبُوكَ لِغَمِّهَا وَهَمِّهَا. Then everyone who would fall on the ground, Imam Hussein would try to take him, like Al-Qasim, like Abdullah ibn al-Hassan. Each one of them will take, but for Ali al-Akbar, he could not do. His back was broken. He said, Ya Abna Abani Hashim, Ya Abani Hashim, Khudu Aliyan, come and take Ali ibn Ali al-Akbar. As they took him, Zainab was standing on the tent, on the door of tent. She declared, Wa Aliyah, Wa Waladah. All children, all women were crying and weeping with Zainab. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. Everyone, السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله سلام ما به تو ای سومین امام حسین که در حضور تو مهدی کند سلام. سلام بر تو که زیر تیغ با لب خوش برای شیعه فرستاده ای پیام حسین. سلام بر تو و آن قطره های خون سرت آخ که ریخ روی زمین در مسیر شام حسینم. سلام بر تو و آن دم که زینبت می گفت بیا گلوی تو بوسم به جای مام حسین. السلام علیک یا علی ابن الحسین ایها الشهید و ابن الشهید یا ابن رسول الله بهر پدر سخت است داغ جوان دیدن آلال اشرا در حال خزان دیدن چون یوسفش مجروح آن پیک کنعان دید زد از جگر فریاد از سوز دل نایی. شرمندتم آقا اگر این شبا برات خوب گریه نکردم حسین جان. خودمو عرض میکنم شرمندتم اگر خوب برات ناله نزدم. آقا شرمندم اگر دلم به جز در خونت جای دیگری رفته. شرمندتم خیلی دل تو شکستم مولا. آقا اگه نمک نشناسی کردم به خدا شرمندم شرمندم شرمنده. اگه تا به قیامت عذابم کنی حسین جان. میخوام به شما عرض کنم حجت ابن الحسن به شما عرض میکنم بیبی دو عالم یا زهرا. اگه تا به قیامت عذابم کنی از آن به که یک دم جوابم کنی. از اون شبی که آبو میبندن انگار آتش آدم بیشتر میشه، آتش دلش برای گریه کردن بیشتر میشه. همه آرزویم همین است و بس. مرا نوکر خود خطابم کنی ابا عبدالله. یه وقت اومد آقا ابا عبدالله بالای بدن نازنین علی اکبر یه نگاه غم‌آلودی کرد. پاشو نگاه کن که با چه حالی رسید بابا. پاشو کمک کن بریم به خیمه ای امید بابا. زخم شمشیر روی قلبم جگرم آتیش میگیره. بچه‌ام از دستم داره میره الهی باباش بمیره. حال منظار زینب 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 زینب. حال منظار بیا زینب ببین بچه‌ام نیمه جونه. کاکل و گیسوش چش و ابروش کلا خودش غرق خونه. سر تا با پیکره لال بارونه نفساش آتش فشونه ولدی علی ولدی علی ولدی علی سادات ببخشن میگن پایین پای آقا تو حرم امام حسین روزه علی اکبر رو نخونن اما دلیلش این آقا طاقت نداره پیکرش طوری پراکنده است که همش پیدا نمیشه آخ من نگرونم ما دوتا رو کی به خیمه میرسونه این همه عضو متلاشی روی خاکا جا میمونه سر تا پا پیکرش لال بارونه هر کاری آقا کرد صدای علی بالا نمیاد از بچگی بابا روی این حالت بچه هش اساسه وقتی یه چیزی تو گلوی بچه گیر میکنه رنگ روش سیاه میشه میگن یه چیزی تو گلوش گیر کرده آروم آروم بزنین پشتش بهتر میشه نهایتا اگر نشد دست میکنه تو حلق بچه اگه چیزیه در میارن هی دید علی میخواد نفس بکشه نمیتونه به بابا چیزی بگه بغلش کرد همون کاری که بابا انجام میدن دوتا ستا زد پشتت به سرش علی انگشتو کرد تو دهان علی اکبر لخته خونو در بود اهل خیمه دستامو بگیرید گوشه عبامو بگیرید آخ چشمهای دخترامو بگیرید سر تا پا پیکرش لال بارونه نفساش آتش فشونه تازه کار عباس علمدار شروع شد حرفی که میخوام بزنم آخرش اینه سر بلند کرد گفت ای جوانای بنی هاشم فریاد به خیم سمت خیمه نزد همه کنارش بودن آخ خیارانش بودن بنی هاشم حد اقل 15 تا 16 تاشون بودن صدا زد جمشی رکنتونو به خیمه ها ببرید عبا رو از روی دوش مبارک برداشت کنار بدن پن کرد اومدن کمک کنن بدن رو تو عبا بذارن آخی بمیرم یه مرتبه دیدن یه قسمت های از بدن رو زمین مونده دلها بسوزه برای اون بدن نازنینی که با لگد قلطش دادن همه بگیم حسین جان حسین جان حسین جان عزیزان تشریف بیارید جلو امشب الحمدلله مستفیض میشیم از چندین نفر مداح برای دیشب هم اگر یه وقت طول کشه دوست خانم تشریف بیارید جلو تر لطفا دور شدی از برم با لب عطشان علی دور شدی از برم با لب عطشان علی تشنه فرستادمت جانب میدان علی 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 یا علی 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 یا علی برد دل از انبیا روی دلارای تو برد دل از انبیا روی دلارای تو اینگه آخرم برقد و بالای تو تون مرا تا کنم سیر تماشای تو چشم براحت بود حضرت زهرا علی چشم براحت بود حضرت زهرا علی 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 یا علی 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 یا علی رفتی و بردی ز کف تاب و توانه مرا میروی و میبری روح و روانه مرا چشم گشا و ببین قد کمانه مرا دشت دشت پر از قاتل و تو تن تنها علی 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 یا علی 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 یا علی علی چو جان شیرین تو را از خود جدا می کنم محاسنم روی دست خدا خدا می کنم خدا خدا می کنم با دل بشکستم بر تو دعا می کنم بر تو دعا می کنم بر تو دعا می کنم دو دیدم از غمت گشته دو دریا علی گشته دو دریا علی 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 یا علی 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 یا علی علی دیده به ره دوخته قاتل خون خوار تو دیده به ره دوخته قاتل خون خوار تو تا زند از خون سر آب به رخسار تو آب به رخسار تو برو برو یا علی خدا نگهدار تو خدا نگهدار تو که همراهت میبری جان مرا یا علی جان مرا یا علی 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 یا علی
شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من از غم داغ دستو ببین شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من از غم داغ تو شد خاک عذاب بر سر من از غم داغ تو شد خاک عذاب بر سر من همه شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من از غم داغ تو شد خاک عذاب بر سر من از غم داغ بگو خاک عذاب من شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من از غم داغ تو شد خاک عذاب بر سر من از غم خاک تو خاک عذاب شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر من از غم داغ تو شد خاک عذاب بر سر من از غم خاک تو شد خاک عذاب بر سر من لی قدر رعنای تو چون سرو و سپیدار شده، قدر رعنای تو چون سرو و سپیدار شده. کربلا 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 محو رخ احمد مختار شده، دور تا دور سرت آینه میچرخانم، دور تا دور سرت آینه میچرخانم. بس که گیسوی بلند تو دل آزار شده، بس که گیسوی بلند تو دل آزار تا کمی راه روی این دل من میلرزد، تا کمی راه روی این دل من میلرزد. قد چوبایی زهراست پدیدار شده، قد چوبایی زهراست پدیدار شده. شبه پیغمبر من توی علی اکبر جان، شبه پیغمبر توی علی اکبر. از غم داغ تو، از غم داغ تو شد خاک عزا بر سر من، از غم داغ من علی اکبر نزد للحومه، من علي الأكبر نزل للحومة هد، بدد جموع العدل منظومة بد، ساحة الفرسان خلوا السيف حد، ساحة الفرسان خلوا السيف حد. طفوا طفوا بالعجل أنواره، طفوا طفوا بالعجل أنواره. هذا طاه المصطفى شنغاره، هذا طاه المصطفى الشنغاره. لو علي بيمينته فقاره، لو علي بيمينته فقاره. حسين 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 حسين. لی چشم بد دور از آن قد رشیدت پسرم، چشم بد دور از آن چشم رشیدت پسرم. قامتت شانه به شان به علم دار شده، گر ترک خورد لبت قصه نخور ای بابا، گر ترک خورد لبت قصه نخور ای بابا. تشنه وصلی و هنگامه دیدار شده، تشنه وصلی و هنگامه دیدار شده. تا صدای تو شنیدم که پدر زود بیاد، تا صدای تو شنید که پدر زود بیاد. گفتم ای وای علی بی کس و بی یار شده، گفتم ای وای علی بی کس و بی یار شده. حسین 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 دي ساحة الفرسان والجيش ارتجف، ساحة الفرسان والجيش ارتجف. هذا طه بوسط فالحوم الوقف، هذا طه بوسط حوم الوقف. لو علي الكرار جان من النجف، لو علي الكرار جان من النجف. جيش أسبح بالرعب غصاره، جيش أسبح بالرعب طشاره. هذا طه المصطفى الشنغاره، هذا طه المصطفى الشنغاره. لو علي بيمينته فقاره، لو علي بيمينته فقاره. حسين 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 نیزه ها رفت شو بالا به سر خیش زدم، نیزه ها رفت شو بالا به سر خیش زدم. وسط معرکه این یاس گرفتار شده، کوچه ای باز شد و هر کس ره آمد و زد، کوچه ای باز شد و هر کس ره آمد و زد. علی کوچه ای باز شد و هر کس راه آمد و زد ماجرای تو شبیه در و دیوار شده ماجرای تو شبیه در و دیوار ز شکافی که به پهلوی تو خورده پیدا نوک نیزه اثرش چون نوک مسمار شده طه هذا الذي للحؤم دخل لو علي هذا الذي من النزل فحل ماخذ منهم أوصاف الفحل خل جيش الشام غاصب عاره هذا طاه المصطفى الشنغار لو علي بيمينته فقاره حسين علی دشمنان بغض علی را سر تو خالی کرد تن تو طعمه هر گرگ جگر خار شده بین محراب دو ابروی تو از هم وا شد صورتت جلوه ای از حیدر کرار شده خیز و زیر بغلم گیر و سوی خیمه ببر ای جوانم ز غمت دیده من تار شده والنعم من الولد هذا الولد علي الأكبر بالحرب مثل الأسد منهم اللي طاه منهم من شرد من لاحقهم راد ياخذ ثاره هذا طاه المصطفى الشنغار لو علي بيدر ارتفع فقاره از همان دور شنید رجزت را علی این حسین و حسنت را جگرم سوخت علی نعره حیدری و ناله زهرایی تو می شنیدم رجزت جگرم سوخت علی نشد آخر لبه ات شان تو را آب دهم چه کنم سوختنت جگرم سوخت علی سن علي الأكبر هذا فرس الجموع علي الأكبر هذا فرس الجموع خاط حومت كربلاء بدم ودموع خاط حومت كربلاء بدم ودموع بطل ما يعرف أبد معنى الخنوع بطل ما يعرف أبد معنى الخنوع من هو يعرف يا خلق أسراره من هو ما خلق أسراره هذا طه المصطفى الشنغار هذا طه المصطفى الشنغار لو علي بيمين تفقاره لو علي بيمين تفقاره سين 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 تنت روی خاکا یه صحرا علی جان تنت روی خاکا یه صحرا علی جان سرت روی دامان بابا علی جان ببین عم زینب کنارت نشسته پاشو تا نیفتادم از پا علی جان من زار و حیرون ما بین میدون من زار و حیرون ما بین میدون زلفت پر از خون علی جان علی جان تو رفتی یا منم دارم میمیرم برا تو بمیرم که خاک و خون گرفته لبا تو چشاتو کمی وا کن ببینم نگاه تو بگو بابا بگو بابا بگردم صدا تو بگو بابا بگو بابا بگردم صدا تو علی جانم علی جانم علی جان علی جان باش جان علی جان علی جان علی جانم علی جانم علی جان علی جان علی جانم
خورشیدی که آید بر سر بالین ما همچون خورشیدی که آید بر سر بالین ما بر سر نعش علی آمد حسین از خیمه گاه
حسین جانت
شاه آمد در کنار کشته اکبر ولی دیدش گریان لبش ازشان دلش پرسوز و آسین لحظه ای ایرت زده بر جسم اکبر خیره شد ناگهان شد رود در چشمان شاهنشه سیاه لحظه‌ای اما برا بر بازاران سال غم با تعجب بر سر بالین او استاد شاه ایشون حسین آمد کنار کشته فرزند خیش در جهان پیچید آوای غم و واویلتا روی خورشیدش به روی ماه اکبر چون نقاد شاد قیامت آشکار از این قران مهرما رخ به رخ سار علی بناد و از جان میگری رخ به رخسار علی بنهاد و از جان میگریست کی علی بعد از تو دیگر حال دنیا شد تبا سنجانم غریب مادر حسین غریب مادر عزیز خواهر حسین مظلوم حسین مهموم حسین مولا حسین آقا حسین عطشان حسین مهمان حسین زخمی حسین مجروح به شیر خاره به حق اصغر به حق قاسم به حق اکبر به حق زینب به حق مادر حق سه ساله حق رقیه سه سال دختر دردم دوا کن نظر به ما کن حاجت روا کن ببین اسیرم تویی امیدم برات میمیرم حسین یار خوب و مهربان ما را به کربلا رسان
از خود آقا علی اکبر میخوان که هم اسمش رفیق ما علی اکبر رو تا فردا به حق بابا شفا بده. همینطور حمید برادر ما، اونم از نوکرای خالص امام حسینی. التماس دعا.
اللهم آمین.
اللهم آمین.
صلی الله علیک یا مولا. يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حللت بفراق عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبغي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني همه مریض دارن. Lot of people asking for our prayers. Please do the prayers for them first and then yourself and your family. Please take your time. We're gonna have 1 minute. Just go ahead and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all your needs and the shifa of all the people who ask for our prayers, please. خانم آقای محترم دعا کنید برای نیازهاتون درگاه خداوند بزرگ. اول برای اشخاص دیگه دعا کنید، بعد برای خودتون، بالاخص مریضا. یک مریضی هست روی تخت بیمارستان، پدرش هر شب برنامه ما رو میگیره، این بچه رو تخت بیمارستان سینه میزنه. There is a patient on a hospital bed. His father always get our program online, and this kid does azadari along with us.